Hello, everyone. I came to Ohio to get away from snow because in Alabama, I saw on the news this morning, we're going to get like 1 to 3 inches where I live, and we don't ever get snow. And so I came here. We got, you know, a few flurries today. And I guess when I get back tomorrow, hopefully on the ground there in Birmingham, I'll see some snow, something that I was hoping to see here a little bit more of. Today, I wanted to talk about a subject that's probably really personal to me, and it's about, I guess, a dream I've had since I was, you know, first started coming into the church. Like, before I even came to the church, I always thought it would be great, wouldn't it be wonderful if I was there with Christ and the disciples? You know, if I could just be there when Christ was giving the Sermon on the Mount, maybe one of the people in the very back who was, you know, just listening, to be able to actually witness Christ say those words that we can read in God's Word. Wouldn't it be amazing? Wouldn't it be amazing to be able to sit one-on-one and have a meal with Christ? What would that be like? That's just amazing. You know, like, that's always been in my mind. I would love somehow to have been able to have done that, right? If it was possible, right, could I build, like, a time machine and get in this time machine and study and learn Aramaic and go back and get the clothes and be a part of that? I know I don't think it's possible, but I'm saying, you know, just the idea of being able to have that kind of relationship with Christ where I can sit there one-on-one, share a meal, you know, walk along a path, and hear Christ. I mean, you know, a lot of things in God's Word about what Christ said. There's a lot of things that he said to his disciples and to the crowds that we're not privy to, right? And so it would just be, in my mind, amazing to be able to have that kind of a relationship with God. Now, I want to go to 1 Kings, chapter 19. I want to read about Elijah. Because Elijah is one of them people, you know, that had a relationship with God that was interesting. In 1 Kings, chapter 19. And we'll begin probably around verse 8. And Elijah, he had a ministry that was full of miracles, right? He shut the heavens from having rain, raised the dead. We have he called down fire from heaven as part of his ministry. Things, you know, we don't see today. So obviously Elijah has some relationship with God that maybe I or you don't experience, right? We're not calling down fire. We're not, you know, doing these things. He, you know, brought rain after the drought. And here we have a story that concerns Elijah. And I want to look at this story from the context of the relationship of God and Elijah and the communication that's going on between them in this story. And we'll begin in verse 8. And it says, "So he, Elijah, rose, ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights, as far as Horeb, the mountain of God." And that's one thing I can't do. I can't get me a meal and go 40 days and 40 nights on that meal. That's, you know, like, that's really, look, you know, look at Christ, and Christ did the same thing. So that's amazing in itself that he was able to take that one meal, must have been a good meal, and travel for that long. And verse 9, and there he went to a cave and spent the night in that place, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. The word of God came to him, and he said to him, he says, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" I mean, wow, you know, the voice of God, he's in this cave, and he's speaking to him and asking him the question based upon the mission that he was, you know, about to do, right? "What are you doing here, Elijah?" I mean, that's the kind of, like, you know, that stuff that we don't experience. I hope not. I hope anybody's not in their bedroom at night You know, it's like, what are you doing there, Bill? Or what are you doing there? You know, not hearing these voices, but you know, a voice, the communication he has here. Verse 10, he responds to God. He says, so he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Then he said, you know, God still speaking to him, he says, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. He's on this mountain. He says, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks into pieces. A great strong wind. I'm thinking, what kind of wind can break rocks into pieces? Have you ever seen like the damage from an F5 tornado? It'll tear bark off of trees and turn over trucks. But tearing up rocks? I mean, that's some powerful, amazing wind. You know, there's Elijah standing there, and this wind's passing by. And it says right here, it broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. It says, but the Lord was not in the wind. Wasn't in, you know, the big display came by, but he was looking to hear this word from God, and he wasn't in this wind. It says, and after the wind, an earthquake. And imagine, you know, earthquakes, you know, shattering rocks, the shaking going on. Elijah's up there, and the shaking's going on. And it says, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, right? And we know God can appear, in miraculous, amazing ways, right? God appeared in miracles, great things, and spoke to Israel. You heard, you know, from the mountaintop. We look in Revelation, we can see God's the end times. He's speaking to the earth by sending great, you know, catastrophic things are happening, right? But at this point, these catastrophes are happening before Elijah. He says, the Lord was not in the earthquake. And then the earthquake, but the Lord was not in the fire, excuse me. And after the fire, was a still, small voice. You know, in contrast to these great catastrophes, still, small voice. A quiet whisper is actually what this means. And when somebody speaks in a whisper, you have to really pay attention to what they're saying. And a lot of times, if somebody's whispering across the room, you want to pay attention to what they're saying. They may be talking about you or something. Who knows, right? And God gets his attention with this quiet whisper and still small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face on his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? So see, we see, and I don't want to get into the story, I just want to show the relationship that he has and that the voice, and that God could have appeared to him, right? God could appear to him in fire, earthquakes, great winds, but chose to do it in the small voice. Now, I want to make a statement that may make me sound crazy. I think when Bill asked me, so what are you going to speak about? I'm going to speak about hearing God's voice. He's like, well, you don't actually hear God's voice, do you? because if I did, you know, he was up here saying, I heard God's voice, or, you know, God told me this, I'd be like schizophrenic, right? I mean, that would be a sign of some delusion. But I'm going to say and make this statement that may sound crazy at first until I explain it, is that God speaks to me, I believe he speaks to you, every day. God speaks to us every day. And the clouds don't part, right? We don't have clay. You know, you imagine God's going to speak to me. Boom, boom, boom. The clouds part. Light comes down. You know, get up. You know, wake up or something. You know, we don't hear those things. We have no earthquakes, no wind, no fire. But in relation to what we read with Elijah, we do have a quiet whisper of sorts in God's spirit. In God's spirit. Not audible. But something, just like a whisper, you have to very much pay attention to and be focused on what God is saying. I want to turn to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation 3. And verse 14. And we'll read what Christ, who's addressing the various churches here, seven churches, and he's addressing the church here in verse 14 of Revelation 3, the church in Laodicea. And this is a church, like, you know, people are claiming, they believe that they are some kind of relations to the church. They don't say, I'm the church of God, Laodicea. No one wants to make a claim to Laodiceans. But the thing about this church, there was things wrong, but things to be learnt by everyone in what is said here, especially about communicating with God, communicating with Christ. It says in verse 14, since the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning and the creation of God. It says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. That's some serious accusations we have here, against this church and against anyone who may, if you read this, may fit into this, right? Verse 17, because you say I am rich and become wealthy. Verse 18, he says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. Verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. And that's a communication from God, right? That's something I can take in my mind now and be communicated with to this particular church. And verse 20 is really what I wanted to get to. And this is where I talked at the beginning, the relationship I want with Christ. Is that available? Right here it says it is. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And a lot of folks will take this, and I'll see it in tracts, that this is like some open invitation that Christ is at the door knocking, wanting, you know, sinners to repent. No, this is to an already converted Christian who has his spirit, who has this communication with Christ, right? The communication, like these words that we have here to this church. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Christ at the door knocking. If anyone hears my voice, if we hear his voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. That if we can tune our minds to that, to the Spirit of God, and in this case the rebuking or whatever God is communicating to us, Christ is willing to have that kind of relationship, like a meal, that kind of close relationship that I thought in the past that, well, I don't think I can get that. No, it's available, and it says so in God's Word that we can hear that voice if we can learn how to listen. The gentle whisper of God's Spirit. I'm going to turn to John chapter 14. We'll look at a few verses in John 14. John 14 and verse 15. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that the Father may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you will know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Let's go up to verse 23. Jesus answered and said to them, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. That relationship, right? So if Christ is knocking the door, it's because he's there, right? He's like, hey, you're not doing something. What's going on? And if we can listen to that by God's Spirit, we have the relationship. It's verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance all things I have said to you. And I guess sometimes when I'm not really thinking about it, I don't realize the magnitude of the promise that God gives us here. Think about it, the creator of this universe. You know, I study science a lot. I look at the heavens and the majesty and the power of the entire universe and the creation. And the creator God says that he will live with you, in you. And you can have a meal with that creator. That is amazing. And you have to really think about how amazing that opportunity that we have for that communication to be there. And that God's Spirit can bring things to remembrance to us, as we will see. Let's go up to John chapter 16, verse 12. It says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. And listen, you know, when it's talking about the Spirit of God who's in us, right? And it's talking about he will speak. Right? Speak. That's communication, right? I'm not saying I'm hearing things in my closet at night. You know, I'm not saying that. I'm saying we can hear the voice of God if we learn how to listen. He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take care of mine and declare it to you. I mean, tremendous, tremendous amount of promise of that communication in those words we have here. Turn to Romans 8. Romans 8. And in Romans 8, we can start getting some idea maybe how this happens in our mind, you know, God's Spirit and the communication that we can have. Romans 8, beginning verse 1, says, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That's our walk. That's our Christian walk. God's Spirit in our being, you know, God's Spirit with our spirit. Verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, set our minds on the Spirit and be able to understand when God speaks to us, being able to listen to it. Verse 8 says, so those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, stay in that same chapter. Let's go to verse 26. 26, because 26 talks about some of this communication, the spiritual communication that, let me read it. Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. And I think that's true for myself. Sometimes I don't know what to say. You know, try to talk to God. We don't really know how to communicate things. Maybe there's not words for it. For right here, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So it's not words, It's something beyond words, but there's communication going on, right, between us and God through God's Spirit. And it's not necessarily a word thing, but we know it if we can tune into it and hear God's Spirit. Now, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. An intercession, a communication link between God the Father, between Christ, and our minds is there. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians 2, verse 6, says, "However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the hearts of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." And I've had people who say that, say, yeah, there's no way that we can possibly imagine what God has for us. Right? Well, what does it say next? Verse 10, "But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit." We can understand things about God's kingdom and about his plan and what he's doing and what he wants to do with us through his Spirit. I mean, I can read words in God's Word that somebody in another church will read and they won't understand it, but I can read it and it makes perfect sense. God's Spirit makes these things known to us in that communication, hearing his voice. "But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, except the spirit of man which is in him?" And we have that as a part of man. There's something about a human being different than animals, different than an ape. They say like we're 99%, you know, identical with apes. Probably true, right? You know, an ape is what we would be if we didn't have that spiritual component that God puts in our mind, right? But he says, even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So if we're baptized, we receive God's Spirit, we have that communication link where all kinds of things can be open to us in God's Word and in our daily lives of hearing his voice. Verse 12, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are not spiritually discerned." Discernment, being able to know, because a lot of things go in my mind, right? Because I can go to the grocery store, and I'll be going in there, and something's really telling me I need to switch my laundry detergent. You know, I've been using All for the longest, and I really think that if I had Tide, my clothes would be so much brighter and cleaner, right? You know, and if I thought that God was telling me that, that would be crazy. It's probably, right, something from a commercial I saw that got into my mind. So all kinds of things, right, can come into our minds from television, from what things people say, right? We have to be able to discern with God's Spirit what God is, you know, telling to us. How to fine-tune that communication with God. And we're gonna look at that in a few minutes. "But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one." Verse 16, "For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him?" Who has known the mind of the Lord? He says, "But we have the mind of Christ. Again, fabulous. Just thinking about it, fabulous that we can have the mind of God living in us and the communication possibilities. I'm going to tell you a story. And as a story, it's kind of not too serious, but at some points it's serious. I believe, and I'll give you an example of how I thought God was communicating with me on a certain thing that was going on in my life. And it's, you know, it's kind of a trivial thing on the surface. And what it was, a few months ago, I kind of noticed that the tires on my Trailblazer, I drive around Trailblazer, were getting kind of, you know, wearing thin. And I thought, you know, I had them checked out, and I said, well, I could probably get a few more thousand miles before I change them out. I want to get, you know, everything I can out of these tires. But it was in the back of my mind that maybe, you know, I could have some safety issues with it. So, and I don't know if God was talking to me or telling me anything about that at that point, but it came to a point I had spoken at Atlanta, and I had stayed at a friend's house there. And as I was leaving to go back to Birmingham, he kind of looks at the back, looks at the tires on my car, and says, "Jeff, are you getting ready for NASCAR? Because you know those tires look pretty bald." And I was like, "Well, yeah, I know," because it'd been something working on my mind, kind of in the back of my mind, but kind of working there. You know, maybe my safety on my tires wasn't so where they should be. And as I was driving home, driving on the interstate, I saw someone have a blowout in front of me. Like, boop, 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 and they go over to the side. And I said, you know, in my mind, I was like, whoa, that could be me. Now, I don't think God put them there for my sake. I just, you know, maybe he made me notice it, right? Because, you know. But I noticed, boop, 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 the car goes to the side, and there's a blowout. I said, well, that could be me. And then as I was going along the interstate on the home the same day, I saw some poor guy on the side of the road change the tire. He was working hard, changing the tire. And so that kind of went into the back of my mind. I thought, well, you know what? I need to go get some tires. But like many things in our lives, I kind of forgot about it or put it to the side. And it was raining one evening. I was driving home from work late, maybe like 1 p.m., and pretty slick on the roads. And so I had another thing that kind of got me thinking about these tires, where I was on the interstate driving down probably about 70 miles per hour. Then a truck comes in front of me like a passenger truck. Comes by, and he speeds by, and he goes out of control in front of me. I hit my brakes, and I'm you know, trying to gauge where he's going to go, to the left or to the right. And he's going sideways. He's going sideways down the interstate like this. And I'm going like this. He's going 55 miles per hour, and he kind of goes out of control on one side. And he goes back to the other side. I don't know, you know, nowhere to go. And he straightens back up, and he goes. And I'm like, wow. Whew, that was close. I was like, well, I need to get them tires. To let me know, because that should be something I need to, you know, was on my mind, right? You know, God had been, I didn't tell me this, but I didn't listen to it, right? Didn't listen to it. And so I was on my way to church in Montgomery, and I got on the interstate, wasn't on there for a few miles, and then bloop, 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 I had a blowout. All right, and I was wearing these pants and these shoes, and I was out there, like, oh, I got to figure out in my truck where they keep the little jack at, and I got to figure out how to get this tire down. It took me forever, and I missed church. I had to call them and miss church because of my negligence and not listening to things, you know, what I knew in my mind, because if somebody was riding with me, it would not be safe, right, to go on with those tires. And so I wasn't listening to what was in my mind. And that's trivial, right? But, you know, God communicates that through us, through people, through things we see. And it may not be words, but it's working on us that we need to do something. And there's other things God communicates to me, more important to that, right? The God, you know, tells us things we need to do and behave. And I told Clint Mahoney, our pastor, this. He went out and bought him new tires the next week because he thought his was getting kind of low. So. But again, how do we discern what God is trying to tell us? Let's go to Hebrews 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews 3, and begin in verse 7. He says, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice,
if you will hear his voice.
Who is he talking to? Well, let's look and see. He says, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore I was angry with that generation, and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Think about it, that's Israel, right? They had a pillar of smoke during the day, pillar of fire. Now, if I saw something like that, I'd be like, that's pretty convincing, right? They saw the sea parted, hit a rock, water comes out, you have quail dropping, and you have manna. They had all these things, right? Like the miraculous things that Elijah saw, earthquakes and fire, and they had all these things, right? But they still didn't hear his voice. That's what he's saying, right? He says, today if you hear my voice. And he gives it as a warning to us, right? They had all these things, but they weren't listening. He says, beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it's called today. That's what I'm doing, I'm exhorting, right? Today. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of their unbelief. You know, we must not let our hearts be hardened, right? It's easy. I mean, this world's, there's a lot in the world that can harden your heart. It's probably worse than what they had to deal with, right? And we cannot ignore what God is saying to us, right? He's saying to us today, if we hear his voice, well, what is God saying to us? And how can we listen for the gentle whisper of God's Spirit, that still small voice speaking to us? How can we discern it? How can we find it? We have to be in tune to what God wants us to know so we can overcome, right? That's the warning. So we don't fall short. So we don't end up in a lake of fire because I wasn't listening to what God was saying. And it's not about like tires, it's about important things, right? Right? We're not listening to God. We can end up, you know, not making it. Because, you know, they didn't make it into the promised land. That's the warning. So now I'm going to look at some principles, some actual methods that we can use to be more in tune with God's Spirit so we can discern what God is saying to us, so that we can hear the gentle whisper of God's Spirit. And the first thing, conveniently, is right here in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1. The first thing, we'll read it. It says, therefore, since the promise remains of entering his rest, the promise of us entering his kingdom, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well to them. Right? Same gospel is what he's saying. That they have, we have the gospel, they have the gospel. But where did they go wrong? The word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So the first thing to remember in communicating with God, if you want to hear his voice, is faith. A living faith in God. This is, you know, these are basic things, right? You know, without faith, it wouldn't be of no value, right? I mean, a faith that like James talks about, the results in action, that kind of living faith for God is one of the things we have to have if we want to hear the voice of God. The next one is in verse 3. Verse 3, we'll begin in verse 3. The second point. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, so I swore my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. All of the works were finished from the foundations of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place on the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And this is comparing God's Sabbath with the, you know, the millennial rest, being in God's kingdom. It's all incorporated in here, just, you know, incorporated into them entering into the promised land. It's all a part of the same idea. And again in this place, he says, they shall not enter my rest. Verse 6, since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in today, David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said. He says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, for if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not have afterward have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest, the keeping of God's Sabbath, is what it means, for the people of God, because of what it represents. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. And verse 11 is the second point. If you want to hear the voice of God, if you want to tune in to God's voice, the second thing we have to do is this. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Diligence and obedience to God. And God will, you can hear God's voice. The first thing I did when I was 16 years old, I started keeping God's laws about clean and unclean meats. And that's, you know, that's a minor little thing, right? But it's important. And I think by doing that one little thing, I showed some obedience to God, and my mind was opened to more and more things. If you're obedient in some things, God will say, well, you can do that. Well, can you do this? Or can you do this? And God will open your mind if you obey him. Right? When the test commandment, the Sabbath, which we're, you know, reading out here, if you can obey the Sabbath, God says, well, you can obey the Sabbath. Well, what else can you do for me? And God can communicate to us if we're willing to obey, which is to listen to what he says. So that's the second. The first thing is faith, that through, you know, that God exists and that he has a purpose. The second, diligence to be obedient to God's voice. All right, number three, the third point. Verse 12. He says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The third thing, to hear God's voice, is his word. Reading God's word for understanding. God speaks to us through his word. I mean, it's a living document. I mean, it's when I read God's word, I'll read something. Y'all could probably agree with me on this. We read something in God's word. I'll read through Hebrews, and it'd be like I never read it before, because God will be saying something to me that I never got out of it before. God will speak to you directly by reading his word. And it says it's like a two-edged sword, right? So God, so things that are in your thoughts or about your character that you never knew, or things that you're trying to cover up, God will pierce it, and he will get to the bottom of it, and all things will be uncovered by reading God's word and hearing him speak to you. You know, it says, a discerner and the thoughts and intents of the heart, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So that's the third thing. First, faith. Second, obedience. You know, these are basics. Faith, obedience, reading God's word. The fourth one follows along here in Hebrews, verse 14. It says, seeing then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Christ was physical flesh and blood, and all the things that I go through and that you go through, physical things, Christ experienced the temptation. And it says, verse 16, because of this, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Boldly, right? A lot of times when I've done something and I'm ashamed of it, God's Spirit has convicted me and has taught me and told me something. I'm like, oh my, what have I done? And I don't want to come before, guys, I'm like ashamed to come before Christ. He says, come boldly, right? Come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So faith, obedience, reading God's word, and prayer. Talking to God so he could talk to you, right? Speaking to God, telling him, coming to that throne of grace. Communication, two-way between us and God. Right? And, some people, you're crazy. Communication is two-way. You just pray. People, skeptics, they think, people just pray. It's never answered. It's never heard. No, God answers prayers. We just have to learn, how to listen. And the more we talk to God, I think the more we'll be able to discern the Spirit speaking to us. A gentle whisper. With all the power of the universe. With all the power of the universe. So faith, obedience, read God's word and pray. And many, many things. There's many more things I could probably mention to help you. But you can find them in God's word. Just, study. So that we can discern his voice. And continually discover. I want to turn to one more thing. In James chapter 1. That gives us a key to hearing the voice of God. To hearing the voice of God. James chapter 1 and verse 19. He says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word. The implanted word, which is able to save your souls. And this is an example of something I read over tons of times, and all of a sudden the implanted word just hit me. When I was, I went to a Sunday school, a Pentecostal thing when I was a kid. But one of the things they had us do as children was memorize Scripture. Memorize Scripture. And we did it for, like, prizes and money. So I memorized a lot of Scripture. And I got a lot of prizes and money by memorizing Scripture. But those things that I remembered that I was getting paid for at the time have now, all of a sudden, come in my head, right? It's been implanted into my mind. And when a situation pops up, the implanted word can communicate with us. If we, as he's saying here, can be able to listen, right? The implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. And he talks about a mirror. They didn't have good mirrors like we have now. They had like a polished piece of glass. So you look at it, they easily forget what they look like if they're trying to fix their hair or whatever. He says, but verse 25, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So a hearer, listen to God, and do what he says, right? Listen to him. So quick to listen, slow to speak. So do you want to hear God, right? Do we want to hear the voice of God? We have to improve those listening skills. Now, I want to close with a beautiful psalm. Because, I think about the great men who had relationships, who had communication with God, and David is one of them. And David had this wonderful communication. And sometimes I think maybe Clint Mahoney told me one time, if you can't think of a prayer, well, just pray a psalm. Because actually, that's a great way to get into communication with God. And Psalm 20 is a great example of the communication skills of David. And I think it applies to what the topic today. So Psalm chapter 20. It says, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. We will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. I trusted my Trailblazer a little, too much, right? Some trust in those things. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. May the King answer us when we call.